Hello, everyone. It's Steve Baker, and it's time for another 5 in 10. Before I get started, as always, please don't forget to like and share this video wherever you see it, and definitely please do try to follow my Rumble channel or wherever you're listening to this podcast for all the reasons that everyone always states. Those likes, follows, and ratings, especially those 5-star ratings, if you liked it, on Apple in particular, those things do, in fact, really help. Okay, number one, here we go. I don't have a lot to add to the conflicting narratives about the Devin Archer testimony before the House Oversight Committee yesterday. Usually in these cases, especially when TV cameras are not present, the mainstream media takes the position that it never happened, and then they ignore what actually does take place. In fact, one of my personal axioms is, and you've heard it before, if the New York Times, CNN, Washington Post, NPR, et cetera, don't say it, well, then it never happened. But they can't ignore this one, and here's why. The mainstream media spin is in full force because Archer confirmed Joe Biden's numerous lies, those he made in campaign speeches, on the debate stage, and in an untold number of interviews. We now know, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that Biden knew about Hunter's overseas business dealings. So, the spin? Well, in the 20 or so phone calls in which Joe was dialed into those business meetings, Hunter was just checking in to say hi, you know, to talk about the weather. Now, Joe Biden, the big guy, was apparently practicing meteorology while he was vice president, I suppose. I mean, why not? I mean, vice presidents, they don't really have anything to do anyway, right? And if Representative Dan Goldman had really thought this thing more thoroughly through when he drew the short straw and had to go outside the O'Neill building and speak to the press about what he heard inside that hearing, he would have said that Hunter was including his dad on those phone calls to discuss, you know, climate change concerns. I mean, after all, Burisma being an energy and gas exploration company, well, climate change might have sold. Either way, the big lie is revealed. The big guy was more than aware of what Hunter was doing and who he was meeting with. And let's be, you know, perfectly honest and logical about this. Who dials their father into at least 20 different business phone calls simply to talk about the weather and to say, "What's up, Pop?" I mean, is there really a single Democrat out there who believes this load of crap? Well, the answer to that is probably quite a few. Maybe at least the women on The View and their particular audience, but seriously, that's about it. Finally, and again, to be perfectly honest, if equal and opposite evidence was presented against Trump and one of his sons, there'd already be an impeachment by the House and a conviction by the Senate with exactly the same evidence on the table. In fact, let me read a tweet from Dan Bongino this morning. He stated it pretty well. He said, "The Democrats are correct. Outside of the bank records, the suspicious activity reports, the wire transfers, the private bank transactions, the LLCs, the texts, the emails, the WhatsApp messages, the photos of Joe with Hunter's business partners, the voicemails to his son, the two business partners saying Joe is the brand, is the big guy, and the chairman, the two whistleblowers' testimonies, the recorded phone calls between Biden and Poroshenko, the video of Joe Biden bragging about firing the Ukrainian prosecutor, remember that, and Hunter's statements that he's giving his dad half his income, there's no evidence of Joe Biden being involved. Good call, guys." So how is CNN covering the Devin Archer testimony? Well, after running Dan Goldman's remarks, CNN recites a source that says Archer said Hunter Biden was selling the illusion of having access to Joe Biden. Actually said this, "Really a stunning development. Apparently business was never discussed." They actually don't believe that spin, by the way. And neither should we. Number two, will the Biden administration ban cigars? Now, you know cigars are a particular passion of mine, but why does the left always want to ban something that does not affect themselves personally or directly? Items of personal choice and pleasure, in fact. Of course, they are now going far beyond that and now want to also ban gas stoves, dishwashers, plastic straws, gas cars, snowmobiles, and of course, portable generators to power our houses when we have all those blackouts that are coming because we don't have the energy grid set up to handle all these electric cars. Anyway, in 2009, Congress and President Barack Obama enacted the Family Smoking Prevention and Tobacco Control Act to give the federal government the tools it needs to keep cigarettes, vapes, and other addictive tobacco substances out of our children's hands. Now, however, the FDA is using the authority to advance its political agenda in ways that exceed the original intent and purpose of the legislation. You see, It's seemingly not enough to raise the legal age to purchase cigars and other tobacco products to 18 or even 21. Now they want to restrict the types of products that may be more attractive to younger smokers, namely flavored cigars. It's really just another attack on black consumers of tobacco products. It's racism. And I'm being serious about this. As blacks are the largest consumers of flavored cigars, the overall number of teen consumers has actually dropped precipitously in recent years. This is similar to the government's desire to ban menthol cigarettes, again, the favored smoke of black consumers. Look, it's really just another one of those incremental steps towards a total ban. You know, except for the elites themselves, of course. Did you know that the only federal buildings where you can still smoke are congressional offices? Yes, that's right. While it's banned in all other federal buildings nationwide, just last Monday, I had a meeting in a particular unnamed congressman's office where he had a large, stand-up, fully stocked, cabinet-size cigar humidor and probably a dozen cigar ashtrays spread around the office on his desk, the coffee table, and next to every chair. It's one of those rules for thee, but not for me. That is, in fact, the Washington way. Number three, another piece of good news. Yesterday, I shared information that high school-aged boys have been trending as more conservative in recent years. Now today, there is a report that up to 60% of Americans could actually be the owners of guns, which is twice previous estimates. According to a study from Rutgers University's New Jersey Gun Violence Research Center, at the lowest end, it's likely that at least 40% of Americans own guns, and as high as 60%, according to this groundbreaking study, of those who, now wait for it, actually lie to pollsters about firearm ownership. I wonder what else people lie to pollsters about. Anyway, a man by the name of Stephen Gutowski, founder of the Reload blog, said, "This is something that we assumed perhaps for a long time, but now there is a study that is quantifying it to some degree. I mean, the amount that they put on it is that almost half the people who said that they don't own guns fit the model, at least to a certain threshold for people who do own guns. So that's a huge discrepancy. That put the number would rocket up from something like 33% into the 60% range of gun ownership. Why do these people taking surveys lie or become what they call quiet gun owners? It's simple, because they are worried about the government or their neighbors finding out that they own guns, and especially those who live in areas with highly restrictive gun laws. Number four, Joe Plensler, a retired combat decorated Marine Lieutenant Colonel, has penned an op-ed for military.com in which he argues that America needs to implement a new limited draft to replenish our armed forces. Plensler says, and I quote, "Today, the military needs only about 160,000 youth from an eligible population of 30 million to meet its recruitment needs. But after two decades of war, both of which ended unsuccessfully, and low unemployment, many experts believe the all-volunteer force has reached a breaking point and American confidence in its military is at a low." He continues by saying, "While the causes of our current recruiting crisis are many, the fastest and best solution lies within our already existing selective service system." Well, Joe, I've got three much better ideas for you. First of all, let's purge the military of wokeism. The warrior types who are attracted to military service and careers of that type have no interest in sharing either a shower or a foxhole with a mentally disturbed person with gender dysphoria. Is that really so hard for military leaders to understand? Our armed forces are designed for two purposes and two purposes only. That's to kill the enemy and break their stuff, not for diversity and inclusion. Second, let's stop using the military as a testing ground for all manner of social reengineering, like climate change remediation or for forcing untested vaccines on an age and health population that's not at risk from something like a coronavirus. And while you're at it, give those who were forced out of the military for not taking the COVID jab their jobs back with full back pay. Third, and most importantly, let's stop sending our kids to die and be maimed in unwarranted, unconstitutional wars without congressional approval. You know, those ones which we apparently have no desire or political will to actually win. Do I really need to explain myself on either of those points further? I don't think so. Number five. Now, this is frightening. Government has designed a new backdoor censorship mechanism, which is now being rolled out in Canada. According to the Toronto Star, Meta says it is officially moving to end news access for Canadians on its Facebook and Instagram platforms within weeks. wait, what? I mean, how can this happen? Especially in an era where most people are now getting most of their news from Facebook, Twitter, and other social media platforms, and especially young adults. Meta says the move to block news is a response to the Liberal Government's Online News Act, which became law earlier this summer. That bill requires tech giants to enter into agreements that compensate Canadian news outlets for content shared or otherwise repurposed on their platforms. In short, this is a backdoor censorship regime requiring social media companies to compensate news agencies for allowing news articles to be shared by platform users freely. Means that those companies are now forced to remove all news from their platforms, effectively giving Canada's authoritarian regime more control over what their citizens can access, see, and read. Of course, the Orwellians in Ottawa argue that the law creates a more level playing field between online advertising giants and the alleged shrinking news industry. Well, I've got news for the Canadian government. The news industry is not shrinking. It's becoming more independent of authoritarian central control and the dissemination of the preferred news narrative. And that is what the Canadian Marxists are concerned about. All that said, one can only anticipate that Meta, a known and willing participant in the government's censorship desires, will come to the negotiation table and probably strike a deal to at least allow the distribution of that regime's preferred narratives. That's my prediction. Let's keep an eye on that. And let's also keep a close watch on other ways in which our own government will try to sidestep our First Amendment protections here in the United States, as they have already done in cooperation with Zuckerberg and company during the last several years. Okay, that's it for today. Please consider joining my Locals community, where I share content I do not put out anywhere else. It's free to subscribe, but for as little as $5 per month, you can help support my continued investigations into government weaponization, as well as my ongoing revelations about what's happening with January 6th. Simply go to tpc4usa.com. That's TPC, the number 4USA.com, or from your app store, download the Locals app and then search for @TPC4USA. You can also find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Truth Social with the exact same handle, @TPC4USA. Alrighty, thanks so much for joining me again today, and I'll see you again very soon with another 5 and 10.